Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast.
Tell a friend and connect.
SOSradio.net.
We're called to be in relationships with people and do life together, but sometimes relationships are just tough to work through. And we're talking with author Gary Thomas today at SOS Radio. And Gary's written several books over the years, like Sacred Marriage, Sacred Parenting. Good morning, Gary. Thanks for carving out some time today.
Well, good morning, Scott. Thanks for having me.
You know, Sacred Marriage was a book that our small group actually went through years ago, and the whole idea of sometimes God doesn't call you to be happy. He's really calling you to be holy, and maybe that's the point of marriage.
Well, absolutely. In fact, I've found, Scott, that when we're pursuing holy, we're actually protecting happy. If you think about it, in fact, John Wesley said this, he's never met anyone who's truly happy who's not pursuing holy. A man whose anger isn't under control is pushing people away. He's not really happy. If you meet an addict, they have moments of pleasure, but they're not really happy. And so I found like in most things in life, when we're pursuing the right things, we get the side things, in this case, happiness as well.
We're talking to Gary Thomas today at SOS Radio. You know, as Christ followers, we're commanded to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. And there's some people we come across sometimes that sort of distract us and delay our work when we're really going after God's vision. You know, we're trying to work for God. We're trying to love people. We're trying to serve people. But how do we get past the guilt and the responsibility when we have difficult people that we have to deal with? Sometimes it gets toxic.
I love the way you set this up, Scott, because I think that the way that we need to know that we can walk away from toxic people is based on the fact that we're to view Christianity as part of being fruitful, not just pietistic. I defined Christianity at one point in my life by, I don't do more things than you don't do. When I look at Scripture, though, when Jesus says in John 15:8, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, that he pleaded with the disciples, pray for more workers, there's not enough of us. When we realize that whether you're in academia, whether you're working at a business, whether you're in sports or politics, Jesus is saying, bring the kingdom of God first, seek first the kingdom of God, bring God's influence, bring God's persuasion, bring God's presence into all areas of society. Then it's about where can I be most fruitful and where can I make the best investment of my time? And I came across the reality that that's usually not pointed into toxic people who not only won't receive it, they'll resent it and keep me from other ministry that might be far more fruitful.
So learning how to deal with toxic people isn't just about protecting our joy and our peace and our reputation or even our own sanity. And author Gary Thomas says it's primarily about protecting our mission. And Gary's chatting with us today at SOS Radio. Gary, staying on mission requires us to stay centered while loving tough people.
Absolutely. And here's the difference. Every toxic person is difficult, but not every difficult person is toxic. When I'm talking about toxic people, it's really people that are trying to hurt you, people that are abusing you, the people that drain you so you have nothing left to give to others. They destroy your peace. They destroy your joy. They might even destroy your sense of sanity. They're often masters at gaslighting, making you feel like you're going crazy. And some listeners might say, well, it still seems selfish. Why should I worry about somebody stealing my joy? Except when you realize the scripture says the joy of the Lord is my strength. Mm-hmm. And so if you're hanging around with people that are making you feel weak, making you feel like you have no zest for life, so you have nothing to share, making you feel like you have no self-confidence, so you don't even want to share something with another one, not only are you not helping them, but they're stopping you from helping others. And that's where I found where Jesus modeled in his own life and taught us as well, that we need to just walk away from those toxic people.
Relationships, they're tough because we're all flawed people, and we're talking with best-selling author Gary Thomas today at SOS Radio. Walking away from toxic friendships can make us feel like we're not being good, or we're not being loving, or like we're turning our backs on people that need Jesus. But when you read through God's Word, Jesus himself actually had to turn away from some toxic people in his life. I mean, you write about that in your brand-new book, Gary.
Yeah, I've lived with decades of misplaced guilt. And I think a weak sense of mission that allowed me to think, I've got to be this one person, I've got to convince this one person, even though it's draining me. Until a good friend of mine asked me to go into the book of Luke and count how many times Jesus walked away from someone or let somebody walk away from him, and he didn't give chase. And I was shocked. I was intrigued. I went through all four Gospels, found 41 citations where an interaction with Jesus ended up that way. They weren't all toxic people, but it certainly leaves the principle that Jesus had many interactions with others where he just said, okay, we're done. I'm not going to help them. They're not going to receive the truth. It's time to let them go for me to find people that do want to receive what I have to say, where it will be a productive encounter. I always thought it was a failure for me to walk away from someone or let someone walk away from me. I couldn't believe that Jesus ever fails. So I had to completely flip that around and realize when Jesus talks about being fruitful and wise, that many times to walk in the footsteps of Jesus is to learn when to walk away from toxic people.
We're talking with Gary Thomas today at SOS Radio, and he's written several books over the years on restoring relationships, like Sacred Marriage, which sold well over 500,000 copies. But you have a new book, it's called When to Walk Away, almost like the flip side of that, when you do have to deal with some toxic friendships with some select people. But Gary, what made you decide, you know what, this is a subject that may seem polar opposite to what I've written before, but it's an important subject to really own as Jesus followers who want to love people?
I believe, Scott, one of Satan's most clever traps against the church today is that he knows he can't stop us from caring because God's Spirit makes us care. We receive God's love. We want to pour that love out on others. And he can't stop that from happening, but here's what he can do. He can get us to take that love that God gives us, and instead of pouring it out onto fields that are fertile and ripe and you'll have a great harvest, he wants us to pour that pure water straight down the gutter into the lives of toxic people who not only won't be helped, they'll resent it. That's what Jesus was talking about when he said in Matthew 7:6, don't give what is holy to dogs. Don't throw your pearls before swine, lest they turn and tear you to pieces. That's a verse I always just used to read over. He can't really mean what I think he means until I saw how many times that Jesus modeled that, walking away from toxic people, walking away from people who wanted to hurt him. But I finally began to realize I need to rethink the purpose of life and what it means to be effective and how to make the wisest use of my time, which may involve walking away from toxic people.
So let's talk about church hurt for a minute. I'm Scott at SOS Radio, and we're talking with author Gary Thomas. And I mean, we've all been there, right? We've seen people manipulate. We've seen people push doors that aren't supposed to open. We've seen people twist scripture to get their own way. And when we're in church and we're called to be in community with each other and we want to help grow God's kingdom, sometimes we get hurt, but we don't want to leave it there. We want to learn about how to deal with conflict in a better way. Gary, what have you learned?
Well, I've learned a lot of times if somebody's particularly contentious that we just need to walk away. We're told in Scripture, warn a divisive person once, the second time, and then if they're not getting it, just put them out. They're going to poison the whole body. I was amazed historically coming across the account of Apostle John, which we also considered the apostle of love. I mean, he wrote about the need to love others in such a beautiful way, so powerful, so impassioned. At one time when there's this toxic person in the first century named Cerinthus, when he walked into a bathhouse when John was there, John ran out screaming, said, everybody get out of here. He didn't even want to be seen in the context with a toxic person like that. So while the early church did talk about the need to love those who are hurting, to love the lost, those who are confused, when it came to toxic people, they would warn them, and if they wouldn't turn, they would actually walk away, as Jesus did, as Paul did many times, as Peter tells us to, and even John, the apostle of love, taught and modeled to us to do as well.
We're talking with author Gary Thomas today on SOS Radio, and he's written some amazing books about marriage and what makes us holy and happy and how those are correlated together. But Gary has a new book. It's called When to Walk Away, Finding Freedom from Toxic People. And when we're dealing with drama with our friendships or we're dealing with drama at our church, I mean, what are some of the mental steps that we could take to determine whether a relationship's distracting us from our life's purpose or if the person's just being annoying?
My new model, Scott, is where can I make the best investment of my time? If I'm investing $100 and I think this one thing, I might not lose my money, but I might, or this one might give me 1%, or this one might give me 5%. I just think being a wise steward, why don't I put my money where I'll get 5%? In the same way with relationships, when Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:2, Timothy, entrust whatever you've heard from others to reliable people who are qualified to teach others. He's saying, you know what, find the reliable ones, Timothy, so that not only what you learn will help others, but you can multiply yourself and you'll teach others who in turn will teach others. And so I think when we have the model of, is this the best investment of our time, it seems less unkind to go and say, you know what, I don't think this person is going to be helped. In fact, I'm not even sure they're ready to be helped. I don't even think they know there's any conviction that needs to take place here. And so we can walk away finding the best person that we can invest in.
We're talking with Gary Thomas today at SOS Radio. So let's talk about dating relationships for a minute, because those are different than friendships. And if I'm a Christ follower and I've been plugged in church and I'm trying to grow in my relationship with God, and someone comes into my life and they seem like a good person, they seem like they care about virtue and values, but they don't really have a relationship with Jesus that's growing, what should we do about that, Gary, when they want to date, when they want to have a relationship, and they want to go deeper, but, you know, I'm not sure they're right there?
Look, I'm a huge fan of marriage. I think it's one of the most glorious experiences that any man or woman can have this side of heaven. But it's not an easy relationship. Every marriage is difficult in its own way. And by even considering marrying somebody who isn't intimate with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going into it blind and unempowered and vulnerable to somebody's good intentions. I'll never forget the woman who said to my wife and I, she goes, you know, Gary, I just feel so much safer when my husband is praying and in the Word. And then what she said next, God, this is what really hit me. And I don't have to ask him. I can just tell from his attitude. I can tell from the way he deals with tension. I can tell from the way he handles stress, the way he speaks to me, the way he notices me. And what she's saying is when my husband is right with God, he just treats me better. And I would say to every single man or woman out there, God wants you to be loved in marriage. He wants you to be cherished in marriage. He wants you to have the best of marriages. And he'll be your biggest advocate. If you marry somebody that can be convicted by him, when your spouse isn't acting their best, instead of you having to nag them, God will bring conviction. And I'll tell you this, God's conviction is 100% more effective than a spouse's nagging. I think almost for selfish purposes, Scott, if you want the best of marriages, if you want to be treated best in marriage, marry somebody who listens to God, who hears from God, who has a heart that's willing to be convicted by God, because God will speak up on your behalf. If you marry somebody who never prays, you're on their own, you're on your own, and you're basically prey to their good intentions or how they're feeling that particular day.
I remember when I was young and all my friends were getting married, and I heard it time and time again where they say, oh, well, yeah, he doesn't know God yet. I'd have friends who say, oh, you know, she doesn't know God yet, but I think I can lead him there. It never happens, Gary. It never happens statistically like that.
It almost always happens in reverse. Scott, I've seen it time and time again that a spouse, in order to get somebody to marry him, will feign more spiritual interest than they have. They say, of course, I'll go to church with you. Of course, I'll listen, or we can read this book together. And then after they get married, it's just sort of human nature saying, you know, I don't need to do this anymore. I'm tired of doing this. I was never really that into it. And we just stop doing it. And that's why I would say I would marry somebody who's inspiring you in your faith, who's calling you to go forward. Even if they had nothing else to do with you for the rest of their life, they would be growing in their faith. You want to be inspired. If life is about, as Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then I want to be with somebody who is seeking his kingdom. I want to be with somebody who is seeking his righteousness. Jesus says that's the best life. It's the most fulfilling life. It's the ultimate aim in life. And so why would I want to tie my life to someone who doesn't even share the same overall goals?
So ultimately what you're saying is it's not just enough to be a Jesus follower, but you need to be a growing Jesus follower if you're going to yoke yourself up in marriage to someone. If you ultimately want to find that holiness that you wrote about in Sacred Marriage, you find that holiness together when you're equally yoked up, and then you grow together as a family in your marriage, and you both get closer to God together.
Absolutely. In fact, I tell singles, look in Galatians 5, that talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Most singles I found get married for reasons that don't predict future marital happiness. There's emotional infatuation that has a shelf life of about 12 to 18 months, sexual chemistry that really won't carry a couple past the first year of marriage, and then compatibility on dates. And all that tells single couples is how happy they'll be on vacation. Well, how much vacation do you get a year, Scott? You know, most of us, it's not that often. It's not enough to make the rest of marriage seem worthwhile. But when you marry someone because they're growing in the fruit of the Spirit and you admire that, the beautiful thing about that is the fruit of the Spirit grows because God makes it grow. And so if you admire them because they're growing in patience, they're going to be even more patient when God is through with them. If you admire somebody because they're growing in gentleness, they're going to be even more gentle, which means you're going to be married to someone that you love even more at year 10, 20, and 30 than you did at day 10, week 20, and month 30. And so it's an opportunity to have a more fulfilling marriage because it's based on principles that grow over time, not the world's fascination that tends to fade.
We're talking with Gary Thomas today at SWS Radio, and it's just so interesting because when we're in friendships and sometimes things seem to be toxic and people seem to be really negative, it drifts us from the vision that God's called us to in a lot of ways. And sometimes we have to learn that in friendships, you have to walk away when there's toxic things and toxic people going on. You got to address it.
Absolutely. And it was so hard for me to do that until I read through the Gospels how many times Jesus was willing to walk away. And then all of these passages that came through, also in the Apostle John and Paul and Peter, repeating the same thing and modeling it, the need to walk away. We should be about the work of the kingdom. Now, that means sacrifice our time, be there for those who are convicted, who are really wanting truth, who are asking honest questions. But when somebody is undercutting our ability to give of ourselves to others, that's when the time we have to realize, you know what, I need to walk away. One of the analogies I use is this. When you take lifeguard training, one of the first things they teach you is self-defense. Because when people are drowning, they may unintentionally drown you. They're panicking. They may pull you down under the water. And if you let them drown you, well, you both die, and everybody that you might save in the future isn't going to be saved. Well, the same thing is true of spiritual ministry. We're out there to save people. We'll sacrifice ourselves. We'll even go through some difficult, hurting times. But if somebody is beginning to drown us so that we can't help them or can't help others, that's when we have to practice self-defense, not by fighting back, not by responding to hate with hate, but simply by walking away, praying that God would bless them, and then look for a more fruitful opportunity with someone else.
We've been talking to Gary Thomas today at SWS Radio. He has a new book. It's called When to Walk Away, Finding Freedom from Toxic People. Thanks for sharing some time with us today, Gary.
I appreciate the opportunity, Scott. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to the SOS Radio Podcast with Scott Harreld. If this discussion encouraged you, feel free to share it with your friends on social media.